Good morning, Montana Church. I hope you're having a great Sabbath. For those who don't know me, my name is Tanisha and I am currently the youth pastoral worker at Montana Church. I'm also a Pathfinder leader. As you can see, I'm wearing my uniform and it's very nice and I haven't worn it in a while. But today I'll be doing the sermon. The first thing I want you to imagine, right? There's no COVID. There's never been such a thing as lockdowns or restrictions. You can travel wherever you want. And let's say that you decided to go to Tokyo for the 2020 Olympics. Now you're sitting in the audience to watch the women swimming 100 meter freestyle. And you're sitting in the audience, you're waiting for the race to start when suddenly Emma McKeon comes out and has an interesting request. For those who don't know, Emma McKeon is a swimmer who won 5 gold medals this year at the Olympics. Her request is that she wants to race one person from the audience, swimming, you know, one-on-one race. Now, you're in the audience. Would you agree to it? Would you put your hand up and say, I'll do it? Let me give you another example. Let's just say, instead of, you know, traveling overseas to go to Tokyo, how about we stay in Australia, in Melbourne? And you are in the audience of the Australian Open when a tennis player has a very similar request. And that player would be, let's say, Ash Barty. She is currently the number one player in the world at tennis. She's asking to do a one-on-one match with someone in the audience. Let's just say you put your hand up and you said, I'll do it. Like, I'll go and do this competition with you. Do you think you'll be able to defeat them? Or do you think you'll lose? This is a really weird scenario to be in and probably won't happen in either of these situations. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this happened in the Bible. So we're going to go to the Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17, where this situation happened. There was a warrior who wanted to fight an Israelite. And this person turns out to be Goliath. Now, I want to give a bit of backstory on Goliath. Goliath is a very successful warrior for the Philistines. And in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 to 7, it gives a bit of description of who he was. You know, he wasn't just, you know, the guy down the street. You know, he wasn't just a person walking through, just pretty average looking person. He was a warrior that won every single battle he fought. Now, the description of Goliath in the Bible is found in 1 Samuel 17 verses 4 to 7. And it says, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. So to put it in today's measurements for us to all understand, Goliath was nearly 3 meters tall. And his coat of scaled armor of bronze weighed 57 kilograms. And the iron blade of the spear was 6.8 kilograms. Now, if you look at an average person, I'm sure they will not be able to carry armor and weapons that heavy or even be that tall. You don't find anyone around here or anywhere being 3 meters tall. So this was a giant, literally. He had a few surnames. One of them being the Terrible Giant, another one being Broken Bones. So now that we know a bit about Goliath, let's go back to the story of where he wanted to challenge one of the Israelites. Who would fight Goliath? Now for my two previous scenarios of McKeon and Barty, there was no reward that you would get if you won. But if you won against Goliath, you would be able to marry King Saul's daughter as your reward. Now, back in the day, this was a really good reward. Like, of course, anyone would want to marry the king's daughter. But even with this big reward, for 40 days, No one went to fight Goliath until there was one boy who went. Now, this boy had no experience in the war at all. He'd never been in an army before. He'd never been in a battle. But he put his hand up to say, I will go. And this boy, his name is David. Now, let's just say in my previous scenarios with McKean and Barty, let's just say you lost. Your, I guess, consequence, the result of it, were pretty much just you being embarrassed. People will be humiliating you. But then I guess after a few hours, you could just go about your day. But with Goliath, if you lost, you would die. No exception. It wasn't like you would get really badly injured or like you might get a cut on your knee. You would die, pretty much. And though this was a risk, David still went to go fight Goliath. And spoiler alert, he won. How is David able to put his hand up to go fight Goliath when he had no experience and still win? And what can we do to be able to put our hands up and say, I will go? I have a simple answer for that. To win the battle, we must meet God. And when I say meet God, I don't mean go out to eat lunch with him every fortnight or to have a phone call with him every month or so. I mean, meet him on a personal level and grow your relationship with him. Once you've met God, then you'll be able to bring him with you through the different challenges of life with others and into the battle itself. Now let's see how David was able to meet God. David wasn't some strong guy who was training to fight, who had a passion to fight, really. He was just a shepherd. And as a shepherd, you're not going to fight people, really. You're literally just protecting and watching the sheep. You know, the sheep graze in grass and you just have to stand there and watch. I mean, not really. You have to also protect the sheep as well. So from any animals that will try and eat the sheep. So in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 and 35, David explains what he had to do to protect the sheep. He said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. So here in this verse, we can see that David went through his own small battles as part of his job, fighting lions and bears off to protect the sheep. Now, it wasn't like he was doing this to prepare for an actual battle. He wasn't like, I'm going to become a shepherd, fight off some lions and some bears, so I can be prepared to fight Goliath in the future. I mean, that was never the intention. He never went and did this to be prepared. He did it as part of a necessity of his job. And though this wasn't specifically to prepare for a battle, it did prepare him. Not in the sense that it helped him gain some fighting skills, but in the sense that it helped him grow his spirituality, his relationship with God. David being in these tough situations would help David practice his faith with God. As long as he had God on his side, he knew that he would be able to defeat whatever came his way, whether that was a lion, whether that was a bear, and later on, whether it was a giant named Goliath. These small battles helped him to be ready to say, I will go with God. Now, if you think of David, right? David was a shepherd. And I guess a shepherd is a pretty sad, boring job. I mean, compared to his seven brothers who were part of the king's army, who do you think was more equipped, more prepared to fight Goliath? I mean, logically, it would make sense that his brothers would be able to because they're part of the army. It's kind of what they do anyway. And in this sense, compared to his brothers, he was really a nobody. To give a little context, in the chapter before, so 1 Samuel chapter 16, there's a story of a prophet named Samuel. Samuel was given a task by God to go anoint a new king to replace King Saul. Now, he was told to go to a man named Jesse, and that one of his sons would be the next king. So this story is in chapter 16, like I said, and if you would like to read it more or have more understanding of it, feel free to do so. But I'm just going to give a really brief explanation of the story. So pretty much, Jesse brings his sons to say, here, this is like, here's who I think should be the next king, pretty much. But every single time that a new brother would be brought out, God said, and this is in verse 7, he says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at outwards appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse brought 7 of his sons, and with each son, this was the response. Now, after these 7 sons were rejected, Samuel was like, none of these sons seem to be right for this position. So he asked, do you have another son? And Jesse was like, oh yeah, I got David in the fields taking care of the sheep right now. So Samuel was like, well, bring him, you know? And it turned out that David was the one to be anointed, the one to be the next king. Throughout this whole process, David was not a thought in Jesse's mind to be like, oh, maybe I should bring him to the prophet so he can be anointed. David was never that kind of option. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I want everyone to know, all the pathfinders, all the parents, anyone who's watching this, I want you to know you don't have to be amazing to meet God. You don't have to be on your best behavior. You don't need to be the happiest you've ever been. You don't need your future sorted out. You don't need anything. All you need to do is meet God. Just like how David really was considered a lowly shepherd, God was able to work through him for David to defeat and win these battles and then work towards defeating Goliath. And I've made a bit of an equation to kind of make this very simple to understand. And this equation is God plus effort plus perseverance equals success. You know, like David met God, then he put all his effort into taking care of the sheep, and he did it for however long he needed to, and then he was able to defeat Goliath. So now that David has met God, let's see what he does next and how he reacts when he's being put into tough times. Different tough times, not just the battle. Now, if you look into your own life, you might have met God, you know? You have this great relationship with him and you're really happy with it. But maybe you leave him at home. When you're in a situation with other people, with your friends, your family, your colleagues, just anyone really. And maybe your morals are being challenged, or you can see something happening and you know it's wrong and that you should do something about it. Well, because you left God at home, you will not try and stand up for what you believe in. But David brought God to the Israelite camp and was able to make a stand. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll just look at a few verses. First, we'll look at verse 16. It says, for 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and every evening and took a stand. And then we jump to verse 24. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. None of them had brought God with them. So without God, they were not able to stand up for themselves and say, hey, this is wrong. Like, I will go and defeat you. As soon as David arrived at the camp, he immediately was like, I will go and fight because I have God with me. And it says this in verse 32, where he tells Saul, King Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Pretty much no hesitation. It wasn't like as soon as he got to the camp, he was like, oh, there's this giant. Should I go fight him? Should I accept his request to fight? No, as soon as he got to camp, he was like, I will go and fight him with the Lord. You can see his anger to this situation in verse 26, where he says, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He was angry and he was not afraid to go and fight. David was angry and he was willing to go fight as long as he had God in his side, as long as he brought God with him. He knew that if he tried to fight Goliath on his own, he would not have a chance at surviving. But he knew as long as he had the Lord, that he would be okay. Like he says in verse 37, where he says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine." We're still at the camp, the Israelite camp. And sure, we have Goliath as his battle. But Goliath wasn't the only struggle, wasn't the only challenge that was at the camp. Now, like I said in my previous examples with McKeon and Barty, you'd probably get some comments from the audience. When you put your hands up to say, "I will go," there will be people around and saying, "Oh, you can't do it. You're not able to beat them. Like, you don't stand a chance. You're not ready for that." And David got those same exact comments from his brothers, from the other Israelites, even from the king himself. Where in verse 33, King Saul says, you are not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David lets him know that it is possible with God. And if we look back at verse 37, David says, "He will rescue me from the hands of the Philistine." He didn't say, "Oh, maybe God will rescue me. Oh, God can do it, but maybe he will, not sure." No, he said he will. He said he will be delivered. He will be able to fight Goliath as long as God is there with him. So now that we've met God, we have brought him to the camp, now it's time to bring him to battle. I want to share a story of my own. Since it is World Pathfinder Day, I want to share a bit about my pathfindering experience. I joined when I was 10 and I've pretty much been in it ever since. And I was able to have so many experiences that I wouldn't have otherwise. You know, in my own time, I would never really go hiking or rafting or water skiing, but I got these opportunities while I was in Pathfinders. The truth is, life is difficult. And for me, sometimes Pathfinders was a bit difficult in the sense that I came from a different school to a lot of the people at Pathfinders. So it was a little harder for me to find friends. I mean, everyone was nice and great and they did feel welcome, but you know, you want a friend that is your friend and that will stick with you. And you know, this kind of made me have some doubts in whether I should stop Pathfinders or whether I should change to a Pathfinder club that had my friends in it. But I did not let it deter me and I stuck to it. And I was able to make some great friends and have a lot of good experiences. Something else that I struggled with was hiking. Now, I'm not really that good at hiking. I go to every single hiking camp. Well, I try to at least. But I'm not that good. I'm always, you know, staying at the back, dragging my feet kind of thing. And it was really tiring for me. And as well as that, I got really bad blisters. So it was pretty painful every time I would go hiking. And for me, in my everyday life, when I have an event that I'm nervous for or something I'm even excited for, I will ask God to come with me to protect me and to help me enjoy and, you know, whatever else I need to pray for, especially for hiking, since I knew for sure I would be struggling. Now, at this point of the story, I was 14 and I had come back. I'd just come back from New Zealand, where the Pathfinders went to New Zealand. I was feeling really confident because I was able to complete the hike. The Abel Tasman, while we were there, we did 2 days of hiking, 1 day of canoeing. And I was really happy and confident because I had completed this hike. And also coming back, I had made some friends in New Zealand as well. So I was pretty happy about my experience. So back at school, I actually had a class hike to go on. And this hike in particular had 3 different levels of difficulty. Level 1 being the easiest hike and level 3 being the hardest hike. the way that it was decided which level we would go on is that we did like a mini day hike a few weeks before, and then the teachers would put us in the groups they thought was best for us. And it turns out I was put in level one. Now, I just come back from New Zealand and did this amazing hike, and I was like, why am I in level one? I should be in level three, you know? So I went and talked to my friends about it, and my friends were like, yeah, you should be in level three. So we all went to the teacher and we're like, hey, Tanisha should go to level three. When we went to tell the teacher that, the teacher said, no, I don't think you can do it. I don't think it's possible for you to complete that hike. And I was kind of annoyed because I knew I was capable of completing this level three hike. So after some convincing, though the teacher was telling me, oh, I don't think you can do it, they finally said, okay, we'll let you go on level three hike. Now, was it difficult for me to do the hike? Yes. No matter if I've done 10 years of hiking or I've done one day of hiking, hiking is still kind of difficult for me. And though I did level three and I did complete the hike, it was a bit of a struggle. But when God is with me and I am able to put in that effort to go on the hike and be persistent through the hike, I was able to succeed. So now we've met God, we have brought God to camp, and now we are in the battle. David is in the battle. But you know who else is in the battle? God is. During this fight, this battle, Goliath was spewing insults at him. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 43 and onwards, it says that Goliath asked him, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give you flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David would not allow Goliath's insults. And he says in verse 45, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Everything he says to Goliath is mentioning God. God is the only thing that David will talk about in this battle. Not, I know I will defeat you, but I know I will defeat you with God. God will defeat you. And with all of this, with meeting God, bringing God to camp, and bringing God to the battle, David was able to defeat Goliath. And though this sounds very easy, like in words, the truth is the journey you have with God can be difficult. It won't be a straight line upwards, or it won't be a piece of cake. You will go through many different battles in your life and many struggles where you will have an up and down relationship with God. But when God is with you every step of the way, you know you will succeed. Now, let's pray. Dear God, firstly, I want to thank you for Pathfinders and the opportunity everyone has in Pathfinders. Thank you for the children in Pathfinders. Thank you for the leaders in Pathfinders. Thank you to the parents of these Pathfinders. And thank you for the church congregation and support and their support. And anyone else from wherever, thank you for them. We know that you will be with us every step of our lives. But just help us to meet you, to have and grow this relationship with you, so that we can bring you to our everyday lives where we can deal with lots of challenges, and then help us as we bring you with us to our big battles. And help us to know that we will succeed with you on our side. In your name, amen.